there's something about the beginning of a new school year that kind of makes it feel like a new, like a chance to start over. And all, not quite like New Year's Day, but kind of. Like there's a, it's just a new thing. I know, you know, there are lots of companies who do kind of their years, our fiscal years that kind of end at the end of June, begin in July. And so, you know, it's like a new, kind of a new year starts. For me, it's not so much it's the kind of the ebb and flow of the school year. And so we're there. And I thought, you know, we'll start a new message series entitled The Missing Pieces. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about things I think that you and I try to, ways in which we try to fill a void in our lives. And sometimes there are pieces that we might need that we just miss. And so that's kind of where we're going to be heading over the next couple of weeks. I had a chance to spend some time away over the last couple of weeks, spent some time away up in Michigan. My youngest sister got married and was able to officiate that wedding, and that was lots of fun and crazy and things like that. And I had a chance to spend a couple of days away at an inland lake, a little cottage there on a lake, about 45 minutes away from my parents. Now, it's pretty well known in my house that I am really good at looking for things. And usually that plays out like this. I'll be like, "Hey, babe, do you know where the blue scissors are?" And I looked in that drawer. She's like, "But did you really?" And I'll say, "Well, yeah." And then she'll walk in and open the drawer and they'll be right there. Or I'll say, "Hey, Todd, do you know, hey, I'm pretty sure we had an extra jar of peanut butter. The one was in the pantry. It's gone, you know, whatever. Did you look in the place where we keep the extra jars of peanut butter?" I said, "Yeah. I mean, I'm not an idiot. Like, yeah, I looked where the extra peanut butter would be." And then she walks in and is like, "There's, you know, three jars." I'm like, "All right, great. So, cool." And so while we were away up in Michigan, one day we were getting ready. We're going to go on a pontoon boat. And we're going to go fishing, right? And so we're getting ready to get all the stuff together and get all the stuff on the boat. And my brother Jordan's like, "Hey, you know, grab the worms out of the refrigerator." And I said, "All right, cool, no problem." And so I open the fridge and I'm looking at the fridge. And there weren't even a lot of things in the fridge. And I'm looking around at the fridge and I don't see any worms. So I close the fridge and I walk out to the boat and he's like, "Dude, did you get the worms? I told you to get." I go, I didn't see any in there. He's like, "I'm pretty sure." I was like, "Dude, I looked and I did." So I think I might have. Did I go back in and look again? And was like, "Dude, I don't know." And I think from somewhere else, he's like, "It's the blue thing that says worms on it." Oh, there it is. There are times, I think, when we miss things that are sort of just obvious. Sometimes we miss the obvious. And for whatever reason, I have not been given the spiritual gift of finding things. I seem to miss things that would be otherwise quite obvious. How many of you can think of this week? Have you anybody misplaced anything this week? What? Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yell at me. What were some of those things? Reading glasses, debit card. Oh yeah, and we've talked through that, Stacy. I know. Sorry. What else? Car keys. Yeah, Brian. What? Shoes. Right. We just count and. And then sometimes, maybe some of you, I won't ask you to raise your hand, how many of you are still on the search for those things? My hope and my prayer is that you either have found them or that they show up, you know, soon. But how many of those times when we misplace something that it ends up being almost just in plain sight? Right? There are times when we miss the obvious. And so the series that we're kind of beginning this morning, we're going to be talking about the ways in which sometimes we can kind of go through life and we're missing something. And sometimes it doesn't even dawn on us that we're missing this major thing. There's this big, major, important piece or pieces of our lives that we're just missing and we don't even sometimes even realize it. Now, there are other times when, I don't know about you, but I've had those times when you have that nagging sort of sense of just missing something. There's something in my life that is missing. It's just, there's something, it's just not, I don't know what it is. It's just not quite enough of something. And sometimes we talk about it or we think maybe it's purpose or it's satisfaction or it's meaning, or maybe you can think of those times when you felt like there's just this nagging thing. I'm missing something. Well, you are not alone. There is a book of scripture called Ecclesiastes that is almost dedicated to this sort of idea of the meaning, the purpose of life. Solomon was this guy who was on a, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. You'll run into like Psalms and Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes will be kind of right after that. Solomon was the guy who is credited with writing the book of Ecclesiastes. He was on this lifelong quest to find the missing pieces. And he was searching for all of the things that would try to finally provide that purpose, that satisfaction, that meaning, that sometimes when you and I feel that sense of nagging inside of, it's in our gut or in our soul, we might say, that there's just something, there's pieces or a piece that's missing. Now, which I think is tends to be sort of human nature. It's not uncommon for us as humans that if we get a little bit of something, that we then kind of want a little bit more. And we think that if we get just a little bit more, then that's gonna be that missing piece. That's gonna fulfill that nagging or that purpose, that meaning, that satisfaction that we're seeking. If we could just get a little bit more than what we already have, that's gonna fill that void, that nagging, that missing piece inside of us. If I just had a little bit more of a job than I already have, a little bit more salary, a little bit more of a perfect spouse, if I had more friends, or perhaps you find yourself out in the world, if I just had more potential mates, that would really fill this void. Some of us might say, if I had more personality, if I had more humor in my life, if I could be more laid back, if my life was somehow more exciting, if I just had a little bit more, then surely that would do it. Surely that would be the missing piece. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And you'll see the verse on the screen there, on the screen. Solomon, now we don't have a date for this book because the book was not really, this book was not dealing with sort of a narrative history of events. So there's no date that's mentioned. We think it's probably roughly 10th century BCE. So 10th century BC, so a little while ago. There's no date that's mentioned in here. Because the idea is that this is called wisdom, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And so Solomon is writing things about human nature and humankind that will kind of span the breadth of time, right? 10th century BCE or 21st century today. Solomon is going to talk about things that you and I can relate to and understand as humans. And so he writes in verse 1, the words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, starts the book this way. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And then you close the book and you're like, oh, all right, there we go. Well, then what's the point? Right? Here's a guy who was known in the time that he was in was the wealthiest, wisest, smartest man on the face of the earth. Not just as a figurative thing, but actually was that individual. Wealthiest, wisest in all of the earth. Meaningless, he says. Utterly meaningless. Now, what's interesting about this and about Solomon is that being the wealthiest and the wisest human being on the face of the earth at his time, it allows him to have a perspective that a lot of us, I mean, I don't know about you, but me, that I would love to have the opportunity to at least try, right? I mean, here is the guy who's it. He's got it all. And he starts his little journal with saying, and it's all just meaningless. Now, if you go on in chapter 1, he goes on and he writes, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Like, I hear Solomon kind of saying, but just a little bit more. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Which allows us to read some literature from the 10th century BCE and hear it and feel it and apply it to our lives even today in the 21st century. He uses the word meaningless 37 times in this short book. Which if you're writing in Hebrew and you use the word 37 times, that's like putting an exclamation point and maybe some sort of emoji after it or something, right? I mean, he's making a point that he wants to highlight this idea. And so what then comes at the rest of the book, this is the beginning chapter of this book. The rest of the book now is Solomon's account of his quest for purpose and meaning and satisfaction. His quest to find the missing pieces. And I think it kind of plays out in three different ways. The first way is this, through experience. Solomon is looking to find the missing pieces through experiences. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you. Oh, I skipped one. Sorry, Ecclesiastes 1, 16 and 17. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. And then I applied myself to understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this too, is all a chasing after the wind. Right, for Solomon, it was the experiences that he thought might fill those missing pieces. For him, it was all about academia. It was about education. It was about wisdom, right? So he studied philosophy, and he studied physics, and he studied architecture. He studied all of these things. He had all of the degrees that you could have. He had them all. And he went, this too is even chasing after the wind. All of these experiences end up just feeling like I'm chasing after the wind. Interesting to think about, that was 10th century BCE, so a couple days ago, and to think about it now in the 21st century and how that hasn't changed. When we think about the missing pieces in our own life, we oftentimes try to fill it with experiences. Well, you know, if I could go do this, or we cram our schedules with all this stuff. I got to have this experience. I got to have this experience. And now as a dad, I go, okay, well, I want my kids to have this experience and this experience and this experience. And that doesn't mean those are bad. But Solomon says, I pursued all those things. And even that was a chasing after the wind. Even those experiences weren't the missing piece. So he moves on in this quest to find the missing pieces. The second category, I think, or way I would describe that he pursues this is pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And so he says, okay, I've tried all these experiences, I went after all these things, and these are just a chasing after the wind. Chapter 2. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but what also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. And he says, this too I found to be meaningless. All of these pleasures that he pursued. I mean, there was a time in Solomon's life where he pursued the wisdom, the knowledge thing, and he went, that's not filling the missing piece or pieces for me. He said, you know what, I'm gonna rethink my strategy, and I'm just gonna live a life that's a party all the time. I mean, I'm just gonna try to live in a way where I'm just partying all the time. I got all the wine, I got all the women, I got all the food. And he just lived for years trying to pursue all of the pleasures that could be known to humankind. Because anything and everything was at his disposal. I mean, even so, in 1 Kings, I don't have it for you on the screen, but I'll read from 1 Kings chapter 11. And I'm going to ask you to do just a little bit of math here in a second. Not too hard. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 2, 3, and 4. Describing King Solomon and Solomon's wives. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, remember, right, this is a time when Solomon says, okay, the experiences didn't do it, now I'm going to go after pleasure. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. So here's the math for you. 700 wives plus 300 concubines divided by 365. So here's a guy who said, I'm going to go after every pleasure that's there under the sun. So much so that on a daily basis, you can figure out the math in your own time, that he went, and yet still, it's all meaningless. It's not filling the missing pieces. And how often do you and I try to use pleasure as a way to fill the missing piece or pieces in our lives? He had all of the things and still felt like it was a chasing after the wind. I have the opportunity to spend time talking with individuals, and it's interesting how often that the pursuit of pleasures turn into vice and turn into then coping, and that the coping mechanisms become the pursuit of pleasures. And almost, I mean, I think I can say pretty much every single time in every conversation that I have, they go, and I'm still missing something. And here we hear Solomon say, all of the pleasures were mine at my disposal. And it was still just a chasing after the wind. And then in the third way, I think that I would describe the kind of the quest that Solomon is on for the missing pieces is wealth and acquisition. If we could just have, sometimes we think, right, if we could just have that dream home, if we could just expand our investment portfolio, if we could have that corner office or that dream job or that dream boat or that dream car or that fill in the blank, that surely would be the missing piece. I mean, here's a guy who owned hundreds and hundreds of vineyards and properties and huge homes. I mean, this was a guy who had so much wealth and so much stuff, more than anyone else on the face of the earth, that I like to go to concerts. That's kind of fun for me, and I like to go see that. This was a guy who had the concert come to him, right? I sometimes pay some money to go see some bands play songs, and I have to drive to a place, and I got to pay for parking, and right? But to go see this thing. This was a guy who paid to have the concert come to his house. The wealth and acquisition pursuit that Solomon went after, thinking that this was going to be, surely this would be the missing piece. Chapter 2 again. Verse 8, he says, I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and all of these things. And he goes on. I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. Sometimes we think that, right? Surely if I just put in more hours this week in my job, that's going to be the thing, and that's going to lead to the next thing, and that's going to be the missing piece that I've been searching for, longing for. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Now, I would imagine that for most of us, probably, most of us are kind of like, I don't even really want all that stuff. I don't need all that stuff. I just want a normal life. I just want a spouse that loves me. I want maybe a couple kids, a nice enough home, decent job. I want to retire. I want to travel, and I want to die quick. And I all that other stuff, I don't even need. And even this stuff. Solomon would suggest, even that won't fill the missing piece in our lives. Now, at the end of his book, chapter 12, he kind of sort of wraps it up this way. He says, now all has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all humankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or it is evil. He kind of says a similar thing, and though he would have been a little before Jesus' time, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus says it this way. So what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? That's kind of what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks as we jump into this Missing Pieces series. I hope and I pray that you'll be here. I hope and pray that maybe you'll invite some friends, coworkers, neighbors, family to come with you and explore perhaps some of the missing pieces that some of us are missing in our lives. And perhaps they're right in front of us, and we don't even realize it. We don't even recognize it. We don't even know it. But this morning, really, I think to begin this series, I think I have to tell you that you're never going to find the missing piece in your life if you haven't first found Jesus. It's really, it's the first step in trying to bring the pieces all together. If you've never really made Jesus that your Lord and your Savior, you're always going to have that sort of nagging, missing piece in your life. It's going to be really challenging for you to try to find those other missing pieces without first finding Jesus. You know, the Bible uses words like repent, uses words like confessing our sin, admitting that we, in fact, cannot save ourselves. It uses a word like faith, to put our faith and our trust in what Jesus did for you and for me on the cross. But the great thing about Jesus is that he gives us this thing, this ability to choose. We talk about it in some like churchy, nerdy ways. We talk about it as free will, the doctrine of free will, that you have a choice, that Jesus gives you that choice. And you don't have to choose him. But if there's something in your life that's missing and you've been looking and you've been trying, and so often the conversations that I have with individuals end up being basically all the same conversation, but that one. I'm looking for something. My marriage, my relationships are a mess. They're a disaster. I'm a disaster. I'm broken. I can't figure it out. I've been trying for years to fix this thing or to fix me, and it's not working. And I go, yeah, sounds about right. Not because of you, but because you can't. And then we have this really great, interesting conversation, sometimes, not always, about first choosing Jesus in an attempt to find some missing pieces in your life and in mine. Maybe you've never received Jesus into your life. Maybe you have done that years ago, and in the years or the decades since, have kind of found yourself kind of drifting away from God, kind of have become cold to God, a relationship with God. I'm going to invite us into a time of prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud. I'm going to invite you to say this prayer with me. If you would say, you know what, Matt, I've never really decided to choose Jesus. I've tried a lot of other stuff, and it's simply, there's still missing pieces in my life. There's still this nagging, there's an emptiness, there's a hole that I just can't seem to fill with all of the other stuff. Like Solomon, I tried all the things, and none of the things worked. But I haven't tried Jesus yet. Be willing to give Jesus a shot. Maybe you say, Matt, I've done that, like, oh, I did that back in the day, and, you know, whatever, but man, now that you say that, Matt, I really kind of, my relationship with God is really non-existent. It's not really much of a thing. I don't kind of do my own thing and don't really think much about God or Jesus anymore. But you know, it might be helpful for me, again, when I was thinking about the idea of a new school year, it's kind of another sort of beginning. You know, it's not New Year's Day, but it's sort of another opportunity. It's a new start. Perhaps you would say, you know, I need to restart my relationship with God. Then I would invite you to say this prayer just in silence, just in the quietness of your heart. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I have to confess that I have been distracted. The wind has blown a lot of stuff, a lot of things into my path or across my path. And throughout the years, maybe even the decades of my life, I've chased quite a few of them. Today, I have realized I have this God-shaped hole that only you can fill. And so I put my faith in you right now. I put my faith in what you did for me on the cross. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would live your life in and through me. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We're going to get ready to celebrate the sacrament of communion. The favor is this, that if you prayed that prayer, would you let me know? Could be after service this morning, you just come and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Maybe, I don't know, you find a way to send me a note this week and say, hey, man, I just want to let you know I prayed that prayer. Because I want to celebrate with you. I want to encourage you. I want to support you. I want to walk beside you as you do this thing, as we try to follow Jesus together. And I want to say thanks for being willing to let me know.